First, we've got Mark chapter 6, beginning of verse 1 today. But before we do it, those who are listening to us, if you have want to call us at 856-261-9018, give us a call or email questions at bscbc.org. From Mark 6, 1 to 3, we'll begin with Mark chapter 6. If you have a comment, so raise your hand and be called on, because a lot of people here, so call your, raise your hand first, we'll call on you when you raise your hand for comment. All right, begin with Mark 6, 1 through 3, beginning at verse 1 together. And he went out from thence and came unto his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many, hearing him, were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Hi, verse 1. Who's the he referred to in verse 1? Who's the he referred to?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ himself went out from thence and came to his own country. Where was his own country? Where did he come from? Where was he born? Yes, Tammy.
Nazareth.
Went to Nazareth. All right, in Nazareth. Jesus. What is that? All right, went to Galilee. All right, he went to Nazareth. And so Galilee is the province. And this is Nazareth. This area right here is Nazareth. Right here. There is Nazareth. And so went to his own country. And who followed him?
His disciples.
Disciples followed him. And what day was it in verse 2? What day is that? Always Saturday, never on Sunday, it's always Saturday. And what did he do? He began to teach. He was a teacher, went forth to teach. Where did he teach? What area? In the synagogue. What is the synagogue?
Temple.
Jewish meeting place.
Oh, it's a meeting place. It's where they met. And what two Greek words are involved with synagogue? What is it? Oh, that's right. What is it?
We gather together.
Okay, I'll go to gather, to lead, and soon as to lead with, to lead together, to be together. So there's a synagogue. And what was the result of his teaching? Yes, Sammy.
People were astonished.
What does astonished mean? Yes.
Amazed.
Amazed, that's true, amazed. And the reason, what is the reason? What did they ask? What question did they ask in verse 2? What questions did they ask? Yes, Barbara.
Well, how he learned these things.
Yes, in other words, they wondered if he was about how old was he at that time? About how old was he? Pass it in.
About 30,
33, something like 30, I guess. 30, started with 30. Yeah, 33 when he died, but about 30. And as far as they knew, he was not trained by people. They asked about where he had the wisdom. So apparently, he had plenty of wisdom that he gave to them. What else did they wonder about? Not only the wisdom, but what else? Yes, Barbara.
The mighty works that he brought.
The mighty works, the miracles. See, did they believe he was deity?
No.
Was he deity? Perfect God and perfect man, see? And he had the miracles of God, and the wisdom of God as well. He was perfect God as well as perfect man. And so he knew things from heaven, from God. Yes. She already signed that, honey. You've already got it. Oh, yeah, we got it. Yeah, we got it. Thank you. So we got that. Thank you, honey. So he was a wonderful, mighty worker, mighty miracles, by his hands. Now, there's a teacher that is dead now, knows better, and he taught himself and his two sons, who are teachers, that Jesus did no miracles, just God. Now, what does verse number 2 say about that? Is that true or is that false? It's false. He worked the miracles himself. He was perfect God. Yes, huh? Ken Brown. His name is Dr. Kenneth Brown. He was a teacher here, a teacher there. He left the great place because he was raising a lot of questions. He had several sons who were pastors Browns. One of them is up there right now in North Jersey, one of the sons. And he's been trained wrongly. I don't know how he got that idea. In fact, one of his sons, at the beginning of one of our group, yeah, Pastor Dan. Maybe so, because he was just a human being. That's probably true. A light baptism. One of his sons up there in North Georgia right now, teaching. Of course, he doesn't use the King James Bible. One of his sons, he's a preacher up there. And at the beginning of a group called the what's the name of that group?
The IBF,
the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church of America. At the beginning of that, he had a speech that was given, and I heard him say it. He said that the Lord Jesus did not know everything. He did not have any omniscience, because of the one verse that seemed to say he didn't know it. And he denied the omniscience of God. He was taught that by his father. It's unfortunate. But he was omniscient and omnipotent and did the miracles. And so many pastors are taught wrong in that. I called that group and told them, I said, that was wrong. That was an error. He knew everything. He was omniscient. And so anyway, so then in verse number 3, he's defined. What did they call him here? Call him a carpenter. Now, what was his father? What did his father do? What was his father? Was a carpenter.
Stepfather.
His stepfather. Yes, his human. Yes, his father is
not
his really father. No, his father. In other words, the human father, the stepfather. What you will. Who was his father? God the Father. God was the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and the Father, God the Father. It was a miracle. But the human Father, the Father that they call Father, they call him the Father. He's a stepfather, that's right. So they call him, he was the one that, like a guardian. Joseph, that's right. And son of Mary, that's, you got that right. Now, in verse, yeah, fine, excuse me, Sammy.
Well, that was actually the problem.
That's right. Raising
him by the evil son, he was unconceived by Joseph.
Right.
He was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Now what? Yes, Anna, and then Vaughn.
Oh, this is
Joseph's mother. And the wrong versions say the father and mother. They got that thing wrong. The wrong version was NIV. Yeah, they got the wrong version. Yeah, fine.
But this
verse
is not just the carpenter.
Yes, carpenter himself. Carpenter, that's right.
The first note is Joseph.
Now, what error and blasphemy does the Roman Catholic Church teach wrong against verse 2? What is the Roman Catholic Church heresy against verse 2 that proves them wrong? The Pastor Dan.
Well, they don't believe in Mary.
Perpetual virginity. Mary had no other children. That's right. See, this is how they get this in Scripture. I'll never know. See, but that's what they teach. Wrongly teaching.
Oh, sounds like Jacob.
Okay, here we go. Jacob Gromer from Texas. Go ahead, Jacob. Go ahead. What you got?
It's John. John 8:41, sir.
Yes?
He's of your father, this is Jesus speaking. Then they say to him, We be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. And the Talmud even teaches this, that Jesus was from a Roman soldier, and I don't even want to go into the details of it, it's so blasphemous and hard.
Yes.
Okay,
thank you. That's Jacob from Texas. Way to Jacob from Texas. Thank you. Yes, they called him being born of fornication because they didn't have a real real father. And so God was his father. Yes, Tammy. And first. John 8:41, was it? 8:42. You want to look it up?
I'm looking.
In
41, you're right.
In
41?
All right.
Thank you.
Well, not born fornicated. All right, so they had other children, and what were some of the foster half-brothers of the Lord in verse number 2, or 3. What were some of the names?
James.
James. Joseph.
Judah.
Simon. What about sisters?
Well,
at least two of them, but didn't name them. And what was their reaction at the Lord Jesus in verse 3?
They were offended at him,
Lord Jesus. Let's read verse 4, 5, and 6 together. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but his own country, and among his own kin, and his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages, teaching. All right, verse number 4. What quote did he give from the Old Testament here? Well, yes, Al?
That you're a prophet in every land but your own.
A prophet what?
In every land but
yes, but your own. In other words, he's not without an honorable right in his own country, and that's found in what verse? In the Old Testament.
Four.
Yes, but the Old Testament. Anybody find that? But anyhow, he's quoting from the Old Testament, probably not without it. So he's quoting it, and he was from what country? What city? He's from Nazareth, and so they were offended at him and among his own people. So if you go away a long ways away from people, people seem to like you, but in your own town, they don't like you, they can't stand you. That's what he's quoting here from this particular area. And what in verse 5 did he say? What was he prohibited to do? At least he was not prohibited, but what did not happen in verse number 5?
No mighty works.
Not very mighty works, that's right. Just a few things, such as what? A few sick folk laid hand on them and were healed them. Now it says he could not do. In other words, he could have, but I mean he didn't, because were not welcoming his ministry there. In verse number 6, what was his reaction to the unbelief?
He marveled.
He was amazed at their unbelief. And what did he do then after that? Where? In the villages around Nazareth, around the surrounding villages and country, kept teaching. What do you think he was teaching? About the Old Testament and the other things that the Lord, the Father, showed him to teach. So he's a teacher. That was part of his ministry. Now let's read verse number 7, 8, and 9 together. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money, nor their purse. And he shod with saddles, and put not on two coats. All right, verse number 7. How many people did he call?
The 12.
And we call them. What did he call them later on? Called them apostles. They were disciples. He named them later apostles. And how did he send them forth? Two by two. There was a witness, one for another. And what was the special power that he gave to them? All right. Over unclean spirits. Is that power given to people today? Do some people teach that it's given to them today? What are some of the false teachers that teach that they have miracles today? What are some of their denominations and groups that teach that?
Charismatic
teachers? Yes.
Pentecostal,
a lot of Pentecostals. Canny? Apostolic Reformation, that's good. A lot of television, a lot of these television people that have these tongues and so on and so forth. And that was given to the disciples, special miracles, and they said, well, this is for us and so on. There's certain things that are for them, but not for us today, and so it's a sad thing indeed. Power of unclean spirits. How would you define an unclean spirit? Demons or devil's possession, that's right. And what was the command that he gave to them in verse 8, which is an interesting command as they went forth two by two?
Take nothing.
All right, what should they not take for their journey. So what only should they take? What's the one thing they should take? Yes, hand me. A stand, in other words, something to grab onto so they wouldn't fall down. What's the second thing they should not take? What is a script? Maybe it's a purse. Could be a wallet, purse, or something like that. And what else should they not take? No bread. See, they shouldn't take any bread. What else should they not take?
No money.
And so, in other words, they're supposed to be taken care of. See, the laborer is worthy of his hire, and so they're to take care of them wherever they go, and feed them, and clothe them, and house them, and so on. That was the two fled to as they commissioned them to go. But what should they be shod with in verse 9? 9, okay. 6, 7, did we read 9 yet? Yes, okay. Sandals, and what should they not put on? What would you have on? Money belt, that's interesting. A money belt. All right. Why do they not put on two coats? What is that? You just needed one, okay, and we're not got. All right, so they didn't want to overdress. Just one plain Jane all the time looked the same day by day by day. Let us read verses 10, 11, and 12 together. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into in a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whatsoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. All right, verse 10. What they're supposed to do when they get rid of a certain city? A house.
Stay
to that house till they depart from the city. Now, they don't move around. Just stay in one place. And then in verse 11, what about those that don't receive them and don't listen to them?
Receive.
All right. And when you do, when they don't hear or receive you, when you depart, what are you supposed to do?
Ignore.
All right. But shake off the dust. Why do they say that, do you think? Bill, Paul?
I think why they say that is, I think what it really means is, in figurative, is it means when they say shake off the dust, not getting wrong, but I think what they really mean in figurative, if I'm using the term properly, is they mean to ignore.
Now you ignore them, you got Tammy?
Well, you don't want anything from that place.
All right.
Rejected.
All right, Barbara?
The idea of walking in shoes had to do with the idea of possession in the Old Testament. That's why the shoe was Ruth when they did that with the first guy who turned her down. So therefore, in a way, they were going in to preach and possess the land. If they stayed and they accepted their word, then they accepted Christ and became his land. So this way, they would have shaken their dust off their feet if they weren't interested.
The dust, any part of these people, to get Ryan.
What it's saying, I feel like it's showing them how strong they are in Christ, and that nothing can bring them away from
it. Bring them away, all right. Any part of them, yes, Cat? Yes?
No, I wasn't trying to hear what you
said. Oh, okay. The dust, nothing to do with these people, see? Even the dirt that they have, and they just don't keep anything at all. And as far as tolerability in verse number 11, what does that mean? More tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah, have to Lynn.
Well, I know there's different levels of, of punishment in hell, and like, so when they get judged for what their punishment will be, then their punishment is going to be greater than it would be for the people who sinned in Sodom and Gomorrah than they were wiped off the face of the earth.
All right. Now, they had lots of sin in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
And these people that have the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and reject them, they've got a more severe punishment. What does that say about the degrees of punishment in hell? What does this teach about the degrees of punishment in hell? Yes, Tammy?
If you know and reject different is unknown. So you have a certain element of truth.
Uh-huh.
And we should ask that to hold more syllables.
So will there be degrees in punishment in hell, according to this verse?
Yes.
Now, will they get out of hell? No, they are lost and unsaved. They're still in hell, but there will be degrees. Are the degrees of blessing in heaven for saved people?
Yes.
Yes. Gold, silver, precious stones, hay, wood, and stubble. So there's degrees. They're all in heaven, but they're going to be different degrees of rewards and blessings. So this hell. This is very important teaching to see this. Then in verse 12, then they went out and did what? Who's the they refer to? These 12 disciples went out. And what was their teaching? That they should repent. What does repent mean? Either Latin or Greek. Change their mind. Rethink. Think of the difference. They change their mind. Metanoia is the Greek, and repent is the Latin. Change their mind about their sins and about the Savior. They should receive Him and be saved. Let's read verse 13, 14, and 15 together. And they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. And King Herod heard abroad, and he said, that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is the prophet, or one of the prophets. All right, was it 13? Yes. What did the disciples, these 12, what were they able to do here? Many devils were cast out. And what else were they able to do in verse 13? The famine? What?
They
anointed the sick. Now, do some people do that today for miracles of anointing with sick and oil? Yes. Yes. See, but this is apostolic. Now, why do we say that the Gospel of Mark is not the same as the epistles of Paul and after the Holy Spirit has come and so on? What is the distinction between the Gospels and the epistles and the other part of the New Testament? Yes, Barbara?
The Old Testament is not the age of grace yet.
Not the age of grace yet, and it's not yet the dispensation after the Spirit of God comes. And a lot of people don't see that. And they don't believe in the dispensations, and so they try to apply this all the gospel in the Gospels, not the Gospels, for example, to the things of today, and they do it wrongly. But these disciples did have the power to cast out devils and anoint with oil and heal the sick. That was part of the miracle working. Then in verse 14, what did King Herod do? What happened to King Herod in verse 14? He heard about him. And his name was spread abroad. And what did what Herod think of it? Excuse me. What was the question?
I forgot.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Barbara.
To back up just a second, James 24. I would like to ask. Then in James 14 it says, "If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord."
That's James,
would that have been under the apostolic?
Yes, James, if you look at the Hebrews James, let's go here. Hebrews James.
5:14.
Yes, James was written about AD 60,
right.
And of course this was about AD 31, Mark is referring there, so this is still not completely in the apostolic. If, for instance, Corinthians, it's 60, 50. This was true of James's day, and I believe that they can do that. But notice that the prayer of the faithful save the sick. If there's any sin, they can pray for it. See?
5:14 and 15.
James 5:14. I believe this. I don't believe this is necessarily the healing, but any that's sick among you, they can pray over him, anointing with oil. They can anoint, but it doesn't say it's going to heal him, but if the prayer of faith shall save the sick, if the Lord shall raise him up, if he has committed sins, it shall be forgiven. So God is able to answer prayer.
It's prayer.
Yeah. I said, that's
uh-huh.
a good
one.
That's
thank
a, that's
you.
Right, you're Lynn?
Thank you.
I was just gonna. I think you just cleared up my question
yeah.
because I think. Yeah, I was trying to say the difference is they uh-huh. weren't actually healing with the oil.
Uh-huh.
Yes, yeah. That's right. So there's a lot of people use this in James and say that this these miracles are there, but I think we've got to be very careful on that one. And so, in verse. King Herod. What did Herod think in verse 65? Oh, who's that? Anna, go ahead. Back to Dan, go ahead.
Okay, I'm just being redundant here. But in James, mm-hmm. it's the prayer of faith to take steps. Furthermore, it's the individual that's sick that calls, he requests it.
Right.
Yes.
He requests it.
Yes.
In the case of Mark, they're going and they're seeking out the sick people.
Right.
And they've observed they're sick and they're anointing them with oil and healing them by like, that way.
Mm-hmm.
God's still doing the healing in both instances.
Right.
But that's the distinction.
Okay. Tammy.
No,
okay, go on. Vaughn.
I know when you're very sick and when you are many people have it and have died, lots of times you've heard of this passage. And I have it because I have been that I've been sick when I have moments. And so I remember when my sister had not been saved, and she asked the pastor, you know, she read this in the Bible, and the pastor came over,
mm-hmm.
she said, hey, the pastor knows, they don't need more about
mm-hmm.
And so I don't think it's wrong to have the sick person know. Now,
they can do that. Yeah. Anna.
Well, in this time period, what are we doing for, you know, the terms of
part, you know, something we're getting ready in the morning, like, you know, for special seasons, or how do I do it, you know, because they didn't necessarily have access to running water, so they were doing their heads with oil. Mm-hmm. There was a medicinal thing, wasn't it? It's like the man that fell among the thieves, and the Good Samaritan put oil to help him as a medicinal healing type of thing. So, yeah, Bob? No, I don't know what you're talking about, no. No, but I didn't say anything about this at all. I didn't know who the you's referring to, me or general people.
See.
I didn't say anything about it. I didn't use this. I don't remember that at all. No, I don't think so. We've got to be very careful, very cautious, that we're not getting the miracles and the healing in this dispensation, this era, separate from these Gospels and the Gospel times. And they're going to be very careful. See, this is one of the verses they use. They say this proves healing. See, I think we've got to be very careful about this. Yvonne?
James is different from Mark, though.
Yeah, yes,
James,
a little bit different.
Jesus rose and he can
help us. Yes, that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons that Martin Luther called James a right strawy epistle. A right strawy epistle. I don't agree with Luther on that, but that's what he used. In other words, there are certain things in James that's a little bit different than Peter and the other places. What did Herod think of these miracles in verse 16? Yes, the Lynn.
He thought it was John the Baptist coming back from the dead.
Was he right?
No.
No. John the Baptist, what happened to John the Baptist, by the way?
He got beheaded.
He was beheaded? He was beheaded? Why was he beheaded? Was that proper or improper? What?
Over divorce.
He was against divorce and remarriage, and he was beheaded as received. So it wasn't original, but then, let's see. We didn't read 17, did we? Oh, excuse me, Anthony, I'm sorry.
Who requested that?
The daughter, one of the Herodias, the daughter of the man. See,
that's why he lost his head.
Yes,
she wanted it.
She wanted. She had a request. She danced well, and so what do you ask? Up to half my kingdom. And the mother, who was the divorcee, the one that was divorced, was the sinner in the garden. She said, tell him you want the head of this guy. It's against me because I married my other person. So it was the woman that was the adulteress requested the head of the Son of Baptist be taken off. That's what it was. All right. Yes, the daughter danced, Herodias danced, and the mother suggested that they kill this prophet.
Was it Salome?
Salome.
Yes, Salome, I guess that's right.
Herodias was the wife.
Herodias was the wife, I think, yes. Well, it's, what?
Salome, they talk about her, she didn't.
But John was not risen from the dead. Did we read 17 yet? I forget where we are reading. Stop where?
12.
No, we read. Did you, we read
14 and 16, now 15.
We read 15, didn't we? So, did we read 16? Okay, let's read verse 16, 17, and 18.
We didn't do 15 yet.
What?
We didn't do 15 yet.
All right. Okay.
I think you skipped over 15 and you did 16, but.
Okay, let's take 4. Let's take 15. What do they? Some of them think this was?
I think that it was Elias.
Elias, which is the Old Testament for what?
Elijah.
Elijah. What do some of the new versions wrongly do with Elias? This word Elias.
They changed.
What?
They changed it to Elijah.
Changed it to Elijah. See, this is wrong. See, letter for letter, it is Elias in the Greek. Letter for letter, it's Elijah in the Hebrew. See, it's got to be letter for letter. These new versions just completely knock out Jeremiah. They say Jeremiah. Isaiah, they say Isaiah. So this is Elias, they say Elijah. It's wrong, and that's where you can pick up some of these false versions. That's not the only error that they make. They make other errors as well. But the King James Translator is exactly transliteration. What does that mean? Letter for letter. Transliteration. And that's Elias. And what else did some people think it was in verse 15? A prophet or one of the prophets, all right. But this was certainly not the case. There's the Lord. Then let's read 16, 17, and 18 together. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Okay, so we get that same answer that Anthony asked earlier, right in our context. So verse 16, Herod thought it was John. Then in verse 17, Herod himself, what did Herod do? He was the one who was the administrator. What did he do as far as John is concerned? Laid hold on John, he arrested him. What else did he do in verse 17?
Bound him,
put him in prison. What's the word for mean in 17? For Herodias' sake. For. Because of Herodias' sake. Who was Herodias in verse 17?
Herod's wife.
His brother Philip's wife. Okay. So that was, it was related there. Herod was related. He had married her. And what did John the Baptist say in verse 18 about this marriage?
Not lawful.
Not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. And so this is why that there was death. Because it was adultery. Yes, Tammy.
You think it was actually a marriage?
Pardon me?
I think he was actually married.
Maybe he wasn't married. Maybe he just shacked up with us. It could be. It could be unlawful. It could be unlawful. Or it could be a... Yes, Anthony. Yes, but you see, it's unlawful to have a marriage until the death of the mates. See, the Old Testament and the New Testament is very clear. You don't get divorced until your mate dies. You don't get divorced. You don't remarry in the Old Testament or New Testament until the husband or wife dies. It's unlawful. It's unscriptural. A lot of people get divorced and remarried. Regardless, they got a living wife, a living husband. They marry somebody else. It's unscriptural. It's wrong, but people do it anyway. Yeah, fine. Anna.
It doesn't seem to say that Herod and Herodias are married. It says that Herodias was Philip's wife, but it doesn't say that Cornelius was Herod's wife.
But it said for he had married her in 17.
Yes, verse 17. Yeah, he's married her, see.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
See, it's unlawful to have thy brother's wife. In other words, the brother was still living, the wife was still living. So, yeah, Bill.
I think what Anthony is arguing is that she wasn't, she must have been divorced from Philip.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Pastor Dan.
Philip's wife.
That's right.
She was originally married to Philip. She divorced him and married Herod.
That's right.
Divorced his family, though, says Philip's wife.
Well, that's true.
He married her at 17.
That's he married her, but that means he married, I mean, you know, sometimes people marry.
But in Roman law, she would have been divorced.
But divorce is unscriptural. Old Testament, New Testament. Divorce is unscriptural, yes. Anna and then Ryan. I don't know. Something must be wrong. Yeah, Ryan, then Vaughn.
Now, as far as when it's saying Herodias say, doesn't that, from what I'm getting, it's really his law or what he thinks is wrong? Is that what that's
apparently,
saying?
Apparently, yes.
Uh-huh. So, like, what I'm getting there, then, like, he didn't really marry for wasn't, like, Herodias' sake. You know, like, he thinks it was wrong, but it wasn't wrong to anyone else.
Or? Well, fair enough, but Vaughn? You're forgetting him?
Well, he was divorced. She was divorced from Philip.
Right.
She was divorced.
You're divorced. It's unlawful to have thy brother's wife, the brother's former wife. In other words, after for the.
Yeah, but the law, that's what it was. It's not a scripture divorce.
But the remarriage is the thing that's unscriptural. That's right. The remarriage is the unscriptural when the wife or husband is still living. You have Anna and then Paul. Right. Right. Yeah. So Paul.
I know it says that, in God's word that either you know you reconcile, you know either.
All right, one at a time, please. One at a time. Paul's talking.
I forget where it says it. I know I've read it where it says from God's word where Jesus says that either reconcile, remain single.
That's right. First Corinthians chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Yes.
What happens in a case where one of the partners who one of the spouses who commits fornication and adultery and everything, and they divorce, or she divorces him, or vice versa. Does that mean that the other spouse cannot legally marry? I mean, I not legally, but scripturally marry if he's divorced. In other words, I know what I want to say. I just can't seem to get the words out. If the one spouse divorces,
I guess does he mean like if the wife or the husband's cheating?
That's basically what I'm trying to say.
Yes, well, the scriptures are clear. Once you marry, it's for life. Now, people these days don't believe that, but the Bible is very clear. Husband and wife marry till one dies. If one dies, the other person is still living can marry another person. But if the mate is still living and marry another person, that's adultery and that's unscriptural. But it's done all the time in this country, all the time. Everybody's doing it. That doesn't make it right. See? And as you say, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 7, what you're referring to, there's only two alternatives. If somebody leaves, the wife leaves the husband, because one of two things can happen. Either she reconciled her husband, or she remains single the rest of her life. Those are the two choices. Single the rest of her life, or be reconciled with no divorce or remarriage of any kind. Yeah, Barbara.
Can you please explain the exception clause in Matthew then?
Yes, Matthew's exception clause is when there was a betrothal period. They were betrothal. The Jews had a custom of betrothal. And before they were actually literally married and came together sexually, they were in betrothal. In the betrothal, they were called husband and wife. Mary and Joseph were betrothed. Husband and wife, they were called husband and wife. They weren't literally married yet. If one of them is a betrothal status, commits fornication or has sex with some other person, they can divorce. That betrothal is no longer there. That's the only time the New Testament has divorce separate from betrothal, not from literal marriage. That's the thing in Matthew chapter 9 and chapter 16 or 19, those two that jump on.
But the Trump period was very strict, very, very strict.
Oh, yes.
You had to go to Rome to wherever you went to get the Trump, and then if you wanted to break the Trump, you had to go through legal cases, and that was the divorce. But they never came together with men and women.
That's right. See, now that's true in Matthew, but Mark and Luke is very clear. There's no divorce or remarriage of any kind. But in Matthew, it talks about the betrothal period of the Jews, of the special custom that they had. All right, so in verse number 16, 17, I forget what verse we're on, 17 is it? They put him in prison.
Yeah, we did.
We did 16 earlier. Now we're in 17. They put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, where he had married her. In other words, there was apparently a divorce and remarriage, and John said that's unlawful. Now, did we read 18? We read 18. Yes. And unlawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. The former wife, in other words. All right, let's read 19, 20, and 21 together. Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he said many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod, on his birthday, made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief of state. Of Galilee. Okay. Now, so that's 19. He had a quarrel against him. Who's the him in verse 19? Oh, excuse me, Anna. Okay, go ahead.
In the eyes of the Roman law, Perhaps
Herodias
was not currently Herod's brother's wife, but in the eyes of God, Philip and Herodias
were still married. Yes,
so that's
good.
His wife, not his
wife. Yes, that's a good idea. That's a good thing. I also, yes. Barbara, you have something?
Leviticus 18:16. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's
wife. Right.
So that's why
she
was unlawful.
Right. So then in verse 19, Herodias had a quarrel against him. Who's the him referred to there?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist. What did she want done to John the Baptist?
She wanted him killed.
Oh, him dead. Killed him. Was it? Could she do it herself?
No.
She had to work out a scheme. In verse 20, what was Herod's attitude toward John the Baptist?
He was afraid.
All right, afraid of him. What did he know concerning John?
Just man.
Holy man. And he looked at him and observed him, it says. And was he receptive to John's teaching? Yes, he was. So Herod was all right as far as John the Baptist. He didn't want to kill him. Then, we read 21, did we, or not? Did we read 21?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What does it mean, a convenient day? What's that mean?
Appropriate
and suitable day. What was true on that day? How many places in the whole Bible is that word birthday found? Well, no, sure, once in the Old Testament. There's two, just two times, that's right. One of the old birthday in the Old Testament and one birthday in the New Testament. There's one in the Old Testament as well. Pharaoh's birthday, yes. Yes,
oh, I thought it was that guy where, you know, he already came on the wall. Wasn't that his birthday too?
Yeah, that was just the
thing. No, I think it was Pharaoh's. Pharaoh's birthday, yes, right. That's just two times. Old Testament is Anna? Anna?
Yeah, Anna's birthday is two
places
in
the Old
Testament.
Pharaoh
passed
in Matthew.
Pardon me?
Yeah, there's another parallel passage.
Yeah, there's a parallel passage. There's three occurrences.
Well, but the references to which, whose birthday? How many references to certain birthdays?
It's the same birthday.
So that's what I meant. But there's only two people that had mentioned birthdays in the Bible. That's all. Just two people.
Dan one's birthday.
But the word birthday, as far as it, is different people. All right. So it was his birthday, special convenient day, and his birthday. So. That's verse 21. And what happened on his birthday, verse 21?
Herod gave a big party.
Big party, all right.
Right in town. Galilee.
Okay, big party.
In Galilee.
All right, and led the lords and the captains and chief of states of Galilee. So he went and had a big party. and the nobles. Did we read 22 yet?
No.
Let's read 22, 23, 24. And when the daughter of said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, and that was sad with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou wilt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. We talked about that earlier, and this is now right next to the section. Verse 22, so the daughter came in, what did the daughter do?
Dance.
She danced. Probably was an interesting dance. And what did Herod like it?
He was pleased.
And came with them that sat with him. Herod went to please Herod, and then there were other people that were pleased. And so, what did the king say to the damsel?
Ask me what you want.
What do you want? So he gave him whatsoever I will give it thee. And he swore at her. What does that mean?
Whatever, it didn't make any sense.
He vowed unto her, he vowed at her, whatsoever will ask me, up to half of my kingdom. In other words, was that proper to do? Was that wise to do?
Well,
he wanted. Yes, Tammy?
The reference to Herod's birthday is in Genesis 40, verse 20.
Yes, Genesis 40, verse 20, thank you. Genesis 40, verse 20, Herod's birthday. And here this is Herod's birthday.
Pharaoh's
birthday. All right, so. So if they had to go, was it a good thing to do? Did he make? Did he know what was going to happen?
No.
No. Did he like John?
Yes.
All right. If he liked John, did he know that John was going to be slaughtered?
No.
See, he made a mistake. It was a very foolish thing. But so that's what he promised on behalf of my kingdom. And verse 24. What happened to Herodias? We had Anna first.
Bad habit of making promises that if they can't keep them, they regret making the promise.
That's right. What lie and deceit did our President Obama make to the people as far as medical is concerned?
Yeah, keep your doctor.
Keep your doctor. Take the same plan. Lying, deceitful. And he's had a lot of other lies too. He's lying from the pit of hell. Men lies. And other politicians, as well. No, sad to say, I think it's going to be more than 6 months. It'll be for life. He's going to be dictated for life. Well, we'll see. We'll see about that. He wants to keep that thing on and have the martial law and no elections. And he will be able to. We'll wait and see what happens. July the 18th, in about 2 weeks, 18 to 21 for the Republican convention. And the next couple of weeks, the Democratic convention, the riots and the things, and see if the troops are called in, see if martial law be pushed to the button. Anyway, be that as it may. It's the right tourist thing. Yes, Tammy.
That's the same with CBS, just so everyone knows.
No, the next week. CBS is the next week.
The next week.
The Democratic convention.
That's right. All right. So up to half the campus, it's a very false and foolish thing. So she went to what verse 24, what did she do then? Well, she got this promise.
She asked her mother. What do I get?
That's right. She asked her mother. She didn't know what to ask. And what, did the mother have an idea?
Yes.
Why did she say what she said?
She didn't like him.
She didn't like him.
Why again?
She wanted to be quiet because he said that it's unlawful for her to have this person. And scripturally he was right, but richly this quote was 25, 26, and 27. And they came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou wilt give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his own sake and for the sake of them which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison. Verse 25, what happened when the question was the head of John the Baptist. Verse 25, what happened then? What happened in verse 25? What does straightway mean?
Immediately,
with haste, what the king asked for?
Well, she asked.
All right. She asked, okay. What did she ask?
Wants the head of John.
What does she want?
The head of John.
What is the charger?
plate with
a
lid.
It's a big, like a big basket, it's a plate. The head of John the Baptist. So in other words, what do the ISIS people do lots of times today? Lots of beheadings. Lots of beheadings. It's certainly true. And then in verse 26, what was the king's attitude and opinion of that?
Exceeding sorry.
Exceeding sorry. Why? Because he swore, he had his oath. He was very sorry. In other words, he was very sorry he even made that stupid statement on behalf of my kingdom, whatever you want. Very, very foolish. But, wasn't he for the sake of them that sat with him? What does that mean?
Well, he didn't want his faith.
They heard him, Anna.
It also says for his oath's sake. So apparently, he was swearing
He wanted to keep his promise. Yes, Anthony.
He wanted to invest, but he just said, I'm going to give anything you want.
Yes, so I wanted to keep his job. Yes, Lynn.
I think maybe he was afraid that he had some kind of belief that if he didn't do what she said, something bad was going to happen to him.
Possibly, and those who are listening as witnesses. Yes, Barbara?
Why didn't he just say, well, that's half the kingdom that I'm keeping?
Could have said that, that's for
he
sure.
He didn't.
I know he didn't, but why not? Because he liked John, well, so why didn't he keep him?
Because he's the boss.
Well, yes, Anna?
Wasn't there some theory about when they say half the kingdom, because they also say it in the book of Esther, that that's because the person who was ruling had half the kingdom because you had the kingdom of the Medes and Persians in the book of Esther. And so that's as much as they could give, was half the kingdom. And this needed, and then it was
helpful. That's possible.
I don't know.
It's possible. All right, so in verse 27, what did the king do then?
He sent
for the executioner to fulfill this request and gave a command. What's they want?
Immediately,
that's right. And went, beheaded, the executioner came and beheaded him in the prison. So he was in prison and they killed him right in the prison. Sad thing indeed, he was a man of God. Yes, Lynn?
I read it somewhere else that said that would have been happened, but that had to happen according to the scriptures that John the Baptist would be later on when he's beheaded. I'm not sure exactly.
All right, let's read 28, 29, and 30. And brought his head in his charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told them all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. All right, verse 28. What happened in this verse here? Yes, Anthony.
He put his head on a platter.
On a platter, on this charger, and gave it to the damsel. Yvonne.
Just imagine what it looked like. Yeah, bloody. Somebody
in the eyes. Yes, very, very horrible. Now, the damsel. Yes? You think the damsel really wanted the head herself? No. But she gave it to her mother in verse number 28. I don't know whether the mother wanted the head, but the mother was so furious. Tammy?
Probably the daughter would have preferred something else.
Yes, I think so. I think she would have preferred maybe $1 million or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So then in verse 29, what did the disciples think about it? I wonder. They heard it? Did they cremate John the Baptist?
No.
What did they do to his body?
Put
it
in a tomb.
So in other words, burial was the methodology of the Jews in the Old Testament, the New Testament, not cremation, but burial. And then in verse 30, the disciples, yes,
Anna. Can we just stop a while and think about John the Baptist?
Go ahead.
How he was promised, and his mother was that she
could
marry her children, and so that she could have a child. The angel told him
Lord.
Yes.
It's really,
that's right. It's a prophet. That's what happens. And the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was honest to the Lord, gave the Lord's word, he was killed also by the government, the Roman government, crucified for the sins of the world. Any other comments on that verse? Oh, yes. She was a schemer.
She was politically motivated. She
yep.
was married to one royal person, and she had to marry a higher than her.
Yeah.
Right.
She was ambitious.
Yes.
So they laid him in from verse 30. What did the apostles do then? Went to the Lord Jesus, and what did they say to him?
Told him what they did.
Told all the things they had done, and what else?
But
they taught, so they were teachers to Devon. To 12, huh?
In this 12 was Judas, the traitor.
Oh, yes, the traitor was there.
He was a fake.
He was a fake and a phony. Oh, yes. He chose them and knew all about it. That's right. So then, verse 31, 32, and 33. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into the desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. All right, verse number 31. What did the Lord Jesus say to the 12 apostles? All right, yes, Tammy? Mm-hmm. What do some of the preachers use this verse and say? If you don't come apart, you may come apart, fall apart. See that? In other words, it's a time to rest, that's what they say, which is what he said. Depart in a desert place for a while. It's time to rest from miracles and rest of these things. That's what he's saying. And many coming and going, what does that mean?
A short bus.
Yes, and people wanted to have miracles performed by these apostles, and they just were busy, very busy. Is it important to rest?
Sure.
Is it important
yes.
to eat?
Yes.
Okay, you've got to be careful what you eat, which is what eat. So they couldn't be hanging, couldn't rest, couldn't eat. So he said, just come apart and rest, be quiet. Did we read 32 yet?
Yes.
Did we read 32?
Yes.
I don't. Did we read it yet?
Yes, we did.
We read 32?
We didn't go over it, but we
read it. No, but we read it? Okay. So what did the disciples, the apostles do then?
They went to the ship.
Okay. A desert place. What kind of place would that be?
Dry,
empty, nobody around. Nobody wants to go to a desert place. They don't have nobody wanting to be... have them healed or anything else. Well, apparently they took to the Sea of Galilee and then they went to the desert place. After they got there, they went to the desert place. They took the ship to go there. So they went to Nazareth. Nazareth. Over here. Capernaum. So they found the desert place privately. All right. Did you read 33 yet?
No.
No.
I just want to tell you, and a ship on a boat, the people, not huge, but beautiful. And it was taken off with them.
Departing.
So it's getting, you know, they're starting to pull up the gang.
It
was a blood desert. And we said, if you were in my we jumped back down. We didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
We jumped, it was the most fun we had, it didn't cost anything. And we jumped out, and Eli jumped over to us.
Mm-hmm.
And got in the ship, and in the boat, and we sat there, sort of, behind the water on the side of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so peaceful, and it was dark. It got darker and darker. And he
Just privately.
Yeah.
That's the question.
The best thing they ever did. I don't
know why. Good. All right.
Let's read 33,
34, 35 together.